Hi, this is Paul. I wanted to do a short video on a topic that has probably possessed me all of my Christian life. One of the best parts of the movie The Matrix was Morpheus's speech to Neo. You know something, what you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You've felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. And in some ways, this issue is almost always a splinter in my mind. Now, just recently, I discovered a video. YouTube, the algorithm popped it up. It's by quite a small channel called Why Apologists Don't Talk About the Resurrection. And I noted in the comments there that, well, not all apologists don't. C.S. Lewis does. In fact, in his book Miracles, the issue of the resurrection, which he takes up directly, is very much part of the reason why I took up that book, because there were deep issues that I continue to struggle with and to try to work out and to try to talk through, and in many ways, that's the genesis of this channel. Now, I discovered at one point in my ministry that I was slighting the resurrection. It didn't really fit into my worldview. And probably because even though I didn't have the language for it then, it seemed to nakedly indulge in the discarded image. And that's exactly some of the issues that this individual points out in his video. Now, part of the reason that I was, before I started doing videos, I was reading through C.S. Lewis's Miracles multiple times, trying to get it into me, trying to get it in my head, trying to be able to really possess what Lewis was saying. Now, often the mark of a deep thinker in a good book is that you can read it again and again and again and continue to profit from it. Now, some of you might say that's the mark of a dull reader, and that could be too. But I regularly needed to combat this spirit of naturalism for me to keep my faith. And the question that I wrestled with often was, how do simple Christians often outperform sophisticated Christians? Because I had seen this all my life. Now, you might say, what do I mean by outperform? Are they able to love their neighbor in sacrificial, determined ways? Because love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There was the metric that I used. And I found often their theology was messed up. I found often that they were terrible biblical interpreters. And they couldn't explain themselves or defend themselves on these matters at all. And they could have enormous blind sides in terms of how they saw the world. But yet, I regularly saw them outperforming far more sophisticated talking Christians all over the place. C.S. Lewis knew this. You can read it in his book, The Screwtape Letters. You can see it in his comparison of Hinduism and Christianity in Sheldon Van Auken's A Severe Mercy. Now, Lewis knew that he was far smarter and more learned and better read than, well, he certainly was that than I hope to be, and he was often that better than the theologians or the ministers that he would listen to in church. Yet he learned humility and submission often to people who were by no means mentally nor theologically his betters. And this is part of the Christian life. Now, it should come as no surprise, because if we read Matthew 11, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now many sophisticated Christians don't seem to benefit much from this passage, but I've known many simple Christians to do so. See, the curse of the intelligent, well-readed, and sophisticated is that we stumble over ourselves and our desire for status and reputation, not unlike Nicodemus, who sneaks out at night to meet with Jesus in John 3. Now, to whom much is given, much will be required. And that goes in terms of having a big brain or gift of gab or any of these things that right now can gain us status and prominence in our little circles or even in society at large. But if you want to have these gifts and keep your faith, you're going to have to do the work. You've got to do the work, ironically, to keep your faith childlike. Now, fortunately for us, we have the church. These are a group of saints that raised me in many ways. They were parts of my father's church. And here is a group of them singing during my father's memorial service. If you're curious about my father's memorial service, you can find at least the eulogy in my channel. You have to dig through a ways. But the church helps us with this because this is where we begin to notice simple Christians outperforming the sophisticates. The congregation of the brilliant and their struggles is there, and of the simple and their testimony is there. But we're also called to make our own contributions in our time to help others with our struggles and to leave something for future saints. Now, I've been talking a lot about upper and lower registers, and I was traveling Thursday and this morning, Friday morning, and so I haven't really been able to fully catch up on all the comments, but someone asked, well, what do you mean by upper and lower registers? These are sort of ranges, and this sort of maps onto, in some ways, the simple and the sophisticated, maybe in terms of IQ. But these upper and lower ranges also really help us because a high IQ and low IQ, well-read, uneducated, all have the upper and lower ranges. And as I've been talking about and noting, I'm going to do some more videos on Hans Georg. Now, someone helped me with the German, sort of like Goethe, so Müller. I used to work for a German named Müller, so I know that all these things are anglicized, but urban sophisticates in today's environment of skepticism like to act as if they can manage without the upper register, without heaven, spirit, mind, and eternity. But they slip into it in language. And, you know, this might be a case of what Verveke talks about in terms of we just have to deal with the language we're given with. But I frankly don't think they'll be able to arrive at a language without the upper register. And I don't think they'll be able to act in the world without continually going back up to the upper register. They just have to keep smuggling it in. And I'm going to get into that more as I continue to get into, I'm calling them HGMs, as I continue to get into HGMs videos. And in some ways, this is nowhere more easily seen than biblical interpretation, because the challenge between the static and the dynamic is this, the universal and the contextual. And in many ways, the simple often sort of camp out as laws to obey. And there's often sort of a reduction of the Bible into laws to obey. And whereas many who are sophisticated can sort of deconstruct that and say, well, you know, there are these laws and you're sort of being selected, I've often found among the simple that, in fact, while they certainly get things wrong, what tends to happen in the church over time is that the selection of laws, and that selection is often implicit and below the surface, they actually do fairly well. And that then gets brought out in the stellar lives of simple Christians. And now there's so many issues that involve this. You know, gay sex is wrong because God said so. And it's not a difficult thing to deconstruct if you're a sophisticate, but because we basically say, well, these biblical prohibitions were merely contextual and not universal. Now, the point of this video is not on this hot topic. The point of this video is that, where it's very true sometimes that simple Christians double down on laws which don't really fit anymore and they get misapplied. And they need, in some ways, sophisticated Christians to help sort of weed through these and clean things up. The point is we need each other. And biblical interpretation always goes along with basically living biblically and trying to follow God's law, however it's sort of being worked on within the culture. And I would argue this goes all the way back to, in fact, ancient Israel, where, again, as I mentioned before, someone asked again which commentary that was, and that was Driver. I don't remember his first name. He's a late 19th century biblical scholar, and you can find it on the International Critical Commentary series. But, you know, a close reading of Exodus and Deuteronomy will see that law has always been an issue that people work through. And what happens with law is that it's sort of an expression of the upper register and then applied back to the lower register. Now, we never read the text outside of our culture, and that's a very sophisticated observation to make. And while many simple Christians sort of go up into the upper register, and again, I'm talking this way not because it's going to really appeal to simple Christians. It won't. This will appeal to sophisticated Christians, like most of my videos do. Now, my sermons, I try to much more pitch to a general audience that is going to be much more a mixture of sophisticated individuals and people who don't have a lot of education, don't necessarily have a lot of sophistication in the ways that we esteem it culturally. It's the sophisticates that try hard to do so, to read it within a culture, and often bring fruit out of these labors for the church. But the sophisticates are climbers who plan out routes among the mountains for the masses, and sometimes they fall and die. That's part of the role of the sophisticate in terms of the overall economy of the church. But not all paths, as you discover with the death of the sophisticates, is that not all paths are of God or lead you through the mountains. The church travels through time with its simple and its sophisticates. And part of what I've brought out sort of through the Jordan Peterson impact and his idea of Darwinian truth is that there's Darwinian aspect to revelation of God's truth through time through the church. Now, Protestants and Catholics squabble over this, but the dynamic process impacts us both. Sophisticated is obviously a word that we inherit from sophistry. And this, of course, is the besetting sin of the sophisticates. If the besetting sin of the simple is that sometimes they double down in some places that maybe they shouldn't, the besetting sin of the sophisticated is our sophistry, our way to talk our way out of any mandate and to worm our way out of an obedience that we really should hold. And this is something that's, you know, sophisticated is obviously a word we inherit from sophistry, which is essentially someone with a very big left brain doing a bunch of post hoc reasoning, trying to find our way to get what we want and justify it. It's a really smart rider on an elephant. And in some ways, the elephant is the simple and the rider is the sophisticate. We need both simple and sophisticate in the church. We need both simple and sophisticate in society. God gives us what we need, not what we want. And so the sophisticated should be sophisticated enough to listen to and value the simple. And the simple who are wise will learn to, well, glean from the sophisticates what they can, glean from the sophisticates what they should, and throw away the rest. The simple suffer and are blessed by low status and clear narratives. The sophisticated often get high on status, but we have our foggy narratives and we get lost in the fog. God gives his gifts as he chooses, and we learn to love the gifts we are given. You can't outquote Jesus. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. Now, I was going to make this video, Wednesday before my trip. And on my trip, I had a lovely conversation with a lovely brother in Christ who is a very smart, now increasingly middle-aged man. And he wrestles with these issues. And so we sat down with another dear friend who is older and wiser than myself. And over a meal that evening, we wrestled through these things. And the one piece of advice I gave him is, Jesus gives you a cross. And it's your cross. It has a unique signature. It gives you unique slivers, splinters for your mind. But it is yours to bear. And if you're simple, it might be simple obedience. It might be gutting it out when you have a difficult command that you're trying to hold on to and trying to do so in love. If you're a sophisticate, it might be holding on to a simple faith even while you have all this brain horsepower and you have to figure out how to do with it. In a lot of ways, this channel is born out of my cross I have to bear, or at least one of my crosses. And so I share with you how I think. I share with you my sophistication, all in the hope of being able to be a Christ-like, childlike Christian, to, in the words of Leonard Skinner, to be a simple sort of man, because there's a virtue in that that is plain and honest and good. Well, at the same time, I do like reading books. And I do like thinking thinky things. And I do like wrestling with these issues. And so I have to read C.S. Lewis. And I have to trust. And I have to explore ideas. And sometimes that's scary because I head out looking for new passes through the mountains for the people of God. And will I fall from a precipice? Well, I'm a Calvinist. That gives me some assurance, despite what many of you assume Calvinists believe. But I don't think you can outquote Jesus. I praise you, Father in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.